Begin the current daf in Sechtes Baba Kama daf Chof Hei. Begin 7 lines down for the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara begins explaining the previous Mishnah. That is, the Mishnah focused on the Machlekes Reb Tarfon and the Rabbanan regarding Keren Tam B'Shus HaNizik, where the Rabbanan say Keren Tam always the first few times only Chayv Chatzin Nezik, even B'Shus HaNizik, whereas Reb Tarfon wanted to say it's going to be Chayv Nezik Shalom. And he said it's a Kabo Chaymer. He says, if you find there's a leniency by Shein and Regal in Rosh Hashanah that you totally exempt, yet Karen is more stringent and Chayv Chatzin Nezik. So in Rosh Hashanah Nezik, where Shein and Regal is Chayv Nezik Shalom, isn't a Kavu Chaymer that Karen should be Chayv also Nezik Shalom? To which Rabbanan said, Reb Tarfon, Dayoy, where are you learning at the stringency of Karen to say that a Kavu Chaymer from Regal, so Karen should be also Nezik Shalom in Rosh Hashanah Nezik? You're learning out ultimately from Karen B'Shus HaRabim. Karen B'Shus HaRabim, if that's the source, if that's the need in where you're learning out what you're trying to learn out, Karen B'Shus HaNizik, what's called Dayoy Minadin, Love Minadin Li'ez Kenidin. You can only learn out as much as what you're learning out from. Yes, Karen B'Shus HaNizik is definitely more stringent than Karen B'Shus HaRabim, but since you're learning out from there, you can't learn out more than what you're learning out, which is only Chatzin Nezik and B'Shus HaRabim, so you could only learn out that much of B'Shus HaNizik, and therefore it's only going to be Chatzin Nezik, not Nezik Shal. That was the response from the Rabbanan to Reb Tarfon. So that's why Agama continues his discussion and asks, Reb Tarfon Lesley Daya? Doesn't Reb Tarfon agree to that halachic principle of Daya, which limits the what you could learn out from a Kal V'Chayma, what the Chamer is learning out from the Kal, to say that it's only going to be Chatzin Nezik like it is B'Shus HaRabim, like Rabbanan said to him? Why does he hold, as it's quoted in the Mishnah, that B'Shus HaNizik is going to be Nezik Shalom? But V'Hadayoy Dei Raisahu, the principle of Daya, which limits the Kal V'Chayma to what you're learning out from, is a biblical halacha. The time like Luna Braisa, which there's Bryce in Taurus Koinim that talks about the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nedreshet Behem. There's certain different halachic principles that we expound the written law with regards to the other halachas that could be learned out from the halacha. And one of them is the Bryce says Medin Kal V'Chayma. One of the ways you could darsh from the Torah is what's called the Kal V'Chayma, which is if you have something that's a more lenient halacha, yet it has a certain stringency, then the Chama, which is more stringent, for sure has that stringency. So the Braisa says, Ketzad. What would be an example of the halach of Kal V'Chayma? So it says, a pasuk of Bamidbar. Says, Vayemer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, this was after the incident where Miriam had said Lashon Hara to her brother Aaron about Moshe Rabbeinu, and then she was getting punished by Hashem. So Hashem said to Moshe, look, Moshe was davening that Miriam shouldn't have tzaras, shouldn't have been ostracized from the Jewish community. So he said, look, V'avia yorek yorek b'fanel. He says, imagine if her father would spit in her face. Halitikol m'shebis yamim. She'd be embarrassed for 7 days. So essentially what Hashem was telling Moshe was, Kal V'Chayma l'shchina, all the more so where now it's an affront to the divine presence because she spoke about you, the Navi of the Jewish people. Arbasa yam, for sure now she should be in a state of excommunication for 14 days. Now, but that's not what ended up happening. Ella, rather, the Bryce explains what Hashem was saying was, Daye love him and adin li is kenidin. But we limit the Kal V'Chayma. Yes, based on the principle of Kal V'Chayma, she should have been a nida for 14 days, not just 7 days. But since we're learning out that why should she be menuda from a regular case where her father would have done it, would have been 7 days, so Beshchina should be 14 days? That was what the Kal V'Chayma would tell us? Yes, but since you're learning out from something which is 7 days, Dayu tells you and limits it to the 7 days, and therefore Miriam was only Menuda for 7 days. But what you see from the Braisa is that that's the biblical halacha that we see that what Hashem said to Moshe, that Kal V'Chayma is limited with the principle of Dayu. So how could Reb Tarfon said in the Mishnah, not like the way the Rabban had said, that it'll be Nezik Shalom, Mishas and Nezik, if Dayu should limit it to Chatzin Nezik? So the Gemara says, you're right. Tarfon agrees to the principle of Daya. Ki les loy Daya, when does he not hold to the halacha of Daya as is evidence in our Mishnah? Hecha de mifrach Kal V'Chayma. Where if you would darish in the Daya, it would refute the whole essence of what the Kal V'Chayma is coming to say. Now, regard to halacha of the Mishnah, if you would darish in like the Rabbanu was saying, Daya, then there wouldn't be any Kal V'Chayma in essence at all. You wouldn't be learning out anything from that, as the Gemara is going to explain. Now, where it's not going to refute the whole essence of the Kal V'Chayma, then of course, Reb Tarfon is Leidai, he holds of the halacha of Daya as is evidence in this Braisa we just quoted, as the Gemara explains. Hasim over there with the incident that the Braisa quoted of Hashem and Moshe and Miriam, Shiva de Shechina lo k'sivi, the 7 days that she was to be excommunicated, that's not written there that that's the halacha. No. So how did we know that Miriam should have that halacha? Asa Kal V'Chayma. So the Kal V'Chayma comes and tells us, well, if her father, she would have done something with her, it would have been 7 days, she'd have been embarrassed. So at the Shechina, I see our Basar tells us that it should be for 14 days. Now, also Dalia, now Dalia comes and limits it and cuts it down. Apik Shiva Voki Shiva, so seven are cut away, and you're left with seven. So there's still a Kavu Chaimer, meaning it's telling us that she's going to have the halacha of being menuda for 7 days, which we wouldn't have known. Kavu Chaimer teaches the 14, but Dalia limits it to seven. Aval Hacha, but over here regarding Karen Tam, Chatzi Nezek Kisiv, the Torah, when it talks about Karen Tam, doesn't say exactly where it has to be. Shana Regal is limited to Rishos HaNizik, not Rishos HaMazik. It says Bir Biste Acher, but by Karen, doesn't say. Which sounds like that the Halacha of Chatzi Nezek Tam would be anywhere, Rishos HaRab, Rishos HaNizik. Now, so V'asa Kavuchayma, now that we have a Kavuchayma that says, wait a second. If Karen Tam and Bishus Rabim is going to be Chatzi Nezek, for sure Bishus and Nezek, it should be Va'aitzi Chatzi Nezek Achrino. Then you should add on another half of Nezek. V'nasik Nezek Shalom. It should be Nezek Shalom, as we learned at the Kavu Chaimer through Shein Regal, which Bishus and Nezek is more severe than Bishus Rabim. Now, on that, says Rav Tarfon, Iderash to Dayoy. If in this context you're going to expound Dayoy and limit Rishus HaNizik to what it is in Rishus HaRab to Chatzin Ezek, well, then Nifrachli Kavu Chaimer. Then you're not really learning out anything from the Kavu Chaimer, because anyway in the Rishus HaNizik it would be Chatzin Ezek, because Karen is Chatzin Ezek anywhere. So what would the Kavu Chaimer be telling us? And therefore, Rav Tarfon says, of course I agree to Dayoy. That's only if it's not refuting the whole essence of the Kavu Chaimer. If it would, as in the case of the Mishnah, I don't say Dayoy, that's not where Dayoy is implemented, because then there wouldn't be Kavu Chaimer, and the Kavu Chaimer is telling us that there should be Kavu Chaimer, and that's why I say in Rishus HaNizik it's going to be Nezik Shalom, and not limited by Dayoy to Chatzin Nezik as it is in Rishus HaRab. Now, but Rabbanan, who they obviously disagree as it's quoted in our Mishnah, they hold that you do say Dayoy, even when it would be Mafrach the Kavu Chaimer, it would refute the whole essence of the Kavu Chaimer. They learned that Brisa, not like Reb Tarfon. They say Shiva de Shechina Ksivi, it's not true. The 7 days of her being ostracized because of its relating to the Divine Presence is written, and therefore, the Kavu Chaimer that would tell us the 14 that ended up being seven, the Daya actually was Mafrak the Kavu Chaimer and said, you don't say the Kavu Chaimer. Because the Pasuk says, Tisagir Shivas Yam, she should be put away, so locked up for 7 days. That tells us that she would have had that halacha from the Shekhinah, and that's written. Kavu Chaimer is just telling us 14, and then Dayoy says you can't say that. So you see that you say Dayoy even when it's mafrak the Kavu Chaimer. For Reb Tarfon, he disagrees. He says, Hahu Tisagar, that the Pasuk says, Tisagar Shibbos Yam is coming to teach us, Didershinun Dayehu. It's coming to, that's where that teaches us the halacha that you limit, because if it wouldn't have written Tisagar Shibbos Yam, that Hashem is saying, let her be. Be sequestered for 7 days, I would have said, based on the Kavu Chaimer, that's 14. That's actually the words that teach us Dayoy. But that doesn't tell us that that's the halacha that we would have known without the Kavu Chaimer. It's saying, after the Kavu Chaimer, that's the source for Dayoy. But Rabbanan, they disagree. They say, no, Ksiv Karachrina. There's another pasuk that says, if it is Sagi Miriam, that Miriam should be locked up. So in other words, you already have another pasuk. So even though it's already written, and yet still, we already knew the halacha of 7 days for the Shechinah, the Kavu Chaimer would have just taken it up to 14. That Kavu Chaimer, Dayoy is telling us that you don't say the Kavu Chaimer at all. But Reb Tarfon, he disagrees. He says, no. Those extra words about Tisagi Miriam, Hahu Dafila Ba'amad Hashin Dayoy, that's not coming to tell us that the halacha of Shechinah is already known for 7 days and the Kavu Chaimer is only for 14. No. Reb Tarfon says we wouldn't have known anything. That's why we say Dayoy, because it limits it to seven, which we wouldn't have known even that seven. What's that other pasuk with Tisagi Miriam is saying that even in general we apply the principle of Dayoy. In other words, we already have this pasuk that you're saying Dayoy over here, but don't say that the reason why Hashem limited the halacha instead of being 14 only to 7 as in honor for Moshe who is davening for his sister, that therefore that's where we say Dayoy. Abba Amaloi, but in general we wouldn't even say Dayoy to limit to Kavu Chaimer. Kamash Balan, that's the extra words that the pasuk is mentioning over here, which teaches us, according to Reb Tarfon, that you say Dayoy everywhere, but not like Rabbanan, that it's coming to tell you the halach of Shechinah B'Seven, that you wouldn't have known, and therefore we'll say Dayoy over there because it's only limiting and not totally refuting the Kavu Chaimer. But when you refute the Kavu Chaimer, according to Reb Tarfon, then you don't say Dayoy as in the halach of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks and says, Amalei Reb Papa L'Abaye, says, but so what you say, according to everyone, even Reb Tarfon, as the Gemara's question was based on, that seemingly everyone has to agree to the halacha of Dayoy. Reb Tarfon just makes differentiations and he says you only say it when it's not mafrak the Kavu Chaimer. By that, Rav Papa asked Abaye, but v'ha haitana d'loy darish daya, this is the following Tana, that does not expound daya, v'avakav d'loy mifach kavochem, and even if the kavochem is not going to be refuted, you see seemingly he doesn't say daya. Yet you said, and that was the question on Rav Tarfon that we acceded to in our answer, that daya is a biblical halacha. So how could the following Tana not say daya? The Tana, like Lutna Braisa. The Braisa talks about keri bezav, which is when a person, a male, is a zav, which certain emissions come out of his male organ, which makes him into a zav. If it happens three times, he gets a certain halacha. Now, if a zav has keri, which is a different tumma, which also is an emission from his body, but a different type of emission, which is his semen, ask the braisa minayin. From where do we know that that drop of shechva zera of keri should transmit tumma? Both if it's touched, which is called maga, and with masa, if it's carried, just like drop of ziva that comes out of his body. Whereas the Gemara tells the Masech Das Nida Daf Nun Hey Aleph, where the drop of ziva is metama b'masa, transmits tumma, not just by touching, but even carrying, even if you're not touching it, but it's somewhere in the load that you're carrying. So on that, the question of the Bryce is, how do you know that that would apply not just to his ziva, but also to his carry? Whereas Rashi points out, that's from the Gemara over there in Nida, Daf Lama Hey Beis, that carry is not the same as ziva, where the zayv, the type of fluid that flows from his member, which is ziva, that's similar to an unfertilized egg. That's the type of consistency that it is, whereas keri is more similar to a fertilized egg, and that's the different types of emissions that come out, and they have different halachic qualities. So the question of the Braisa is, how do you know that not only would his ziva of a zav be metamba b'masa, how do you know the same would apply to his keri too? Says the Braisa v'dinu, what's a kavuchaymer? What's the kavuchaymer? Ma, if regarding the spit of a person that which is tahar, spittle in its own sense is something that's tahar, bitahar by a tahar person. So when a tahar person has spit, the spit is tahar. Yet tame bitame, but the spit of a tummy person is mitame, even to the extent of if a person carries it, not even touching it. By a person that's, let's say, tummy, for example, a zav. The pasuk says, v'chiyorek hazav b'tahar. If a zav will spit at a tahar person, which sounds like what's in the hand of a tahar, whereas the Gemara Masechta Nida on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis expounds, that means to say masa, meaning it doesn't touch that tahar person, but it touches what's in the hand of the tahar person, which means to say that he's carrying that spit. The pasuk there says, v'chibes begadav, he has to wash his garments. In other words, it transmits tumma to the person who is carrying it, to the extent that he even has to wash his garments, because he carried the spit of a zav. Now, so therefore, it's a kal b'chomer. So therefore, regarding carry, seminal emission, which tamei b'tahar, which the drop of shechva zera by a tahar person, that carry that comes out is going to be tamei, which not masa, but it's going to be metama with maga. If someone touches, as the pasuk says, v'chol beged v'chol oyer, any garment or any leather, asher yilov shech v'zera, which will have semen on it. Now, the same thing applies to a person that touches it, as the pasuk says, oy ish asher teitzim min shech v'zera, of a person that semen comes out of him, which the Gemara Masechet Nida, that from Gimel Beis explains, how do you know that to include someone that touches shech v'zera, it says, oy ish. So, shech v'zera, from a tahar person, transmits tumma. So ain't a din she hate tummy but tummy? So isn't it a kavuchaymer that from a tummy person, by a zav, that his carry should for sure transmit tumma? So it's a kavuchaymer. Now says the Gemara, b'komaisi lo bein lamaga bein lamasa. Now what you see from the Braisa is that it's comparing the reik of a zav, which is metama not just by touching, but the fluids of a zav transmit tumma for carrying too. So it's saying the same thing applies to the carry of a zav, which is, that's going to transmit to him not for touching, but also for carrying. On that, the Gemara asks, Vamai, but why? Neima hanikav v'chayim l'maga, say, the principle of dayoy, because it wouldn't refute the kav v'chayim totally, but it would just limit it, and seemingly this town is not even limiting it. Because say the kavuchemer from shich vazer from carry should work only regarding that yes, the carry of a zav will be tummy regarding transmitting tumma if someone touches it. But ahani dayu la fuke maso, but dayu should limit it regarding carrying it. Because we are learning it out from the carry of a tahar person. Carry of a tahar person only transmits tumma for touching, not for carrying. So, yes, there's a Kal V'chomer where by Tahar, it's like this, Tameh for sure, but what you're learning from Tahar, Tahar is only but Maga. How are you saying by a Tameh person, by the Zav, that his carry should be Tameh B'masa, Dayu should say, no, it's only going to be for Maga, because Dayu, it won't refute it totally, it will transmit Tameh, at least by Maga, but it should limit it that it shouldn't transmit Tameh B'masa. Seemingly, you have a Tan over here that doesn't say Dayu, even when it wouldn't totally refute the Kal V'chomer. Yet you said before that everyone should agree to it because it's a biblical law. Now, the Gemara continues and says, now, and if you're going to say, no, it would refute the Kal V'chomer, because Lamagala Yitzuch Kal V'chomer, because regarding touching the carry of a Zav, that it transmits Tumah through touching, that you wouldn't need a Kal V'chomer, because the Legar Megavar Tar, a Tumah person, a Zav, is no worse for his carry than a Tar person, who a Tar person is carry is Mitami with Maga, so why would it, we don't even need a Kal V'chomer, it's included in that halacha. So if there's a Kal V'chomer, it must be only for the Masa part. And if you don't say that, then it's refuting the Kal V'chomer. And that the Gemara says, no, Itzrach. You would need it for the Kal V'chomer, even just for Maga. Because I mean, I would have thought to say, Mikrei Liliksiv, the pasuk that talks about the Tumah of Keri, talks about an occurrence that happens at nighttime, a nocturnal emission. Now, what that sounds like from the pasuk is, Mishikir Yagurimloi, means to say that it's only somebody that became Tummy because of his Keri. That type of a person, his shechvazara, his carry will transmit to him through maga. Yotza zeh, that excludes this person, the zav, she'in kiri garim loy, that it's not his carry that's causing him to become tummy. El davacha garim loy, rather it's something else that caused him to become tummy. It was his zav. And therefore, kamashmal, and therefore I could tell you that that's what the Kal V'chomer is teaching you, that it will transmit to him through maga. So we're back to the question. You have a Tana that seemingly is not saying daya, even when it wouldn't refute the Kal V'chomer. And he's still not limiting it just to maga. Which seemingly the halacha, it is gara. You would only know it by a tar person, and you only know it through a Kal V'chomer. So why are you saying it all the way through Masa? It should only be for Maga. Now the Gemara says no. Midi v'loy dava achriksiv? Does the Torah, when it says mikre laila, say only if it became tummy through a nocturnal emission and not through something else? No, it just says regarding carry, which happens at nighttime, whether for a tar person, whether through a tummy person, then the Maga is going to transmit Tumah of this carry to whoever touches it. And therefore, for that, you don't need to have a Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer would only be teaching us regarding extending it even further for Masa, and that's why this Tana, like Reb Tarfon, doesn't say Daya, because if you said Daya, it would totally refute the Kal V'chomer. Now, parenthetically, once we introduced this Braisa, the Gemara says, Uman Tana, who is this Tana, the Shamet Leidama that we just heard that we said, that from this Kal V'chomer, you say that you're going to apply the carry of a Zav, both for Maga and even for Masa, again, as we said, because if not, it'll totally refute the Kal V'chomer. Who is it that says that Shechva Zerah Shel Zav Metameh B'Masa? Who is this that says that the seminal emission of a Zav will transmit Tumah both by touching and even for caring? So the Gemara says, Leir B'Lazav, Leir B'Shua. It's neither like Rebbe Elazar or Rebbe Shua. It's not, like we learn the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Shechva Zerah Shel Zav, the seminal emission of a Zav, Metame b'maga, ve'in metame b'masa, the Rebbe Eliezer says, it only transmits tumah through touching and not through caring. Rebbe Shua Imri says, no, af metame b'masa, he says that it will even transmit tumah through caring. And he says the reason is, lefi she'i ef shabalei tzich tzuchi ziva. It's not possible that if a zav, who has this fluid coming out, this ziva fluid, a different type of fluid, that when he has a seminal emission, it's not possible that some of those droplets of the ziva came out with that shechva zera. So therefore, his semen will transmit tumah of masa, just like the zav of the ziva of the zav transmits tumas masa. Now, so the Gemara explains, Ad kan lekam Rebbe Shua Hasam, even Rebbe Shua, who seemingly says the same halacha as the Tana of this Braisa, that the shechvazera of a zav will transmit tumah through masa, that's elishi ef shabalei tzichsuchi ziva. It's because he explains the reason is not because the shechvazera itself transmits tumas masa, it's because it's not possible that some droplets of ziva is not inside of that. Halav hachiloi, but it sounds like if it didn't have, then it wouldn't transmit Tumas Masa. That's not like the time of this Brice, who said clearly it's the carry itself that we learn out transmits Tumas Masa. So Elahai Tana, who rather says the Gemara, it's the following Tana, that's the Tana of this Brice. It's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. The Mishnah there says, Lamala Mehen, even a higher standard of Tumah, more than the three others HaTumah, which were mentioned in the previous Mishnah over there in Masechtas Kelim, which it mentioned the Ava Tumah, the primary source of Tumah, of Sheretz, which is one of the creepy, crawly eight things mentioned in the Torah that transmit Tumah, Shechva Zera, which is the semen, and Tameh Meh, somebody touched a dead body, where they're considered Ava Tumah. But the previous Mishnah there said that they transmit Tumah only through touching, through maga. That's what this Mishnah continues says, and even more stringent than these are, as we continue to Tumah Beis, are Zoyver Shel Zav, are this fluid of Ziva that comes out of the Zav himself, which all these that we're going to quote now are all explained in Sech Desnidid of Nun Heme Beis. How do we know that they transmit Tumah not through touching, not through just touching, but even through carrying, which is called Masa? So the Ziva of a Zav, V'roikei and his spittle, V'shech V'zaroi and his semen, U'meimei Raglev and his urine, V'dam Anida, and also regarding the blood of a menstruating woman. Metamin, all these things transmit Tumah, Bein B'maga, Bein B'masa, more severe than those previous three, even through touching, even through carrying. So you see that we're talking about the Shechva Zera of a Zav, and it's saying that it transmits Tumah through Masa. That is the Tana from this Mishnah Maseches Galim of the previous Braisa. Now that the Gemara asks, how do you know? The Dilma Hachanami maybe say that even over here in the Mishnah Maseches Galim is actually like Rabbi Yeshua. It's only that the Shechva Zera of a Zav transmits Tumah through Masa Lefishi E'ef Shabalei Tzechtzuchei Ziva, because it's not possible for it not to have droplets of the Ziva. But who said that he holds in a pure unadulterated state that the carry would transmit Tumah of Masa, as the time of the Brisa said clearly, as I learned it out from that Kal V'chomer, who said maybe this time of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yeshua, because it's only because of the Tzechtzuchei Ziva. And that the Gemara says, Im Kain, if that would be the case, that the time of the Mishnah there was like Rabbi Yeshua, then Lisanya, then it should have mentioned the halacha of the Shechva Zera of the Zav, Gabay Zoyvoy, meaning one before. It first mentions Zoyvish al Zav, then it goes to Roike, and only then does it talk about Shechva Zare. If it was really learnt out that the Shechva Zera is being Matame because it has some droplets of Zoyvoy, it should have said it right after Zoyvoy. That's why Shechva Zera is Matame, because it has some Zoyvoy in it. Maishno Dikutani La Gabay Roike, why does it first say Roike, the spittle, and then talk about Shechva Zare? El Mishum de Asim Miroiki, because actually, no, it's not like Rabbi Yeshua, it's actually like the Tana of the previous Braisa, who learns it out. Why is the Shechva Zera of a, how do we know that it's Matabe B'masa? Because we learned it out from the spittle, which that was the whole Kal V'chomer. We said, if by what's Tahar by a Tahar person, which is spit, is Matame by a Tame person, so what's Tame by a Tahar person, which is Shechva Zera, carry, for sure should be Matame by a Tame person, which is the carry of a Zav, which again, that Kal V'chomer, as we said, would only tell you Masa, not Maga, and that's why the Tana of this Mishnah obviously is going like the Tana of that Braisa, which learns out Shechva Zera from, not from Zav, not because that's Tzechtzuch Ziva, but rather from the Halacha of Reik, which was that Kal V'chomer. So the Gemara continues asking on this premise that we had based on, that was the question we asked in Reb Tarfon from the Mishnah, seemingly everyone has to agree to Daya. Only question is, do you always say Daya, even if it refutes the Kal V'chomer, only if it doesn't refute? But the Gemara asked another question, only Rav Acha Medifti L'Ravina, but for Hohai Tana, Loi Dorish Daya, I'll bring you another Tana that doesn't learn Daya, doesn't limit the Kal V'chomer, V'Avagav D'Loi Mifal Kal V'chomer, even though he would not have refuted the Kal V'chomer, he still doesn't say Daya, the Tana like Linda Braisa. The Braisa says, Mapetz B'meis Minayin. How do we know that there's a halacha of a reed mat acquiring tumas mess, which is that it'll become tame if it's, let's say, an oila mess. If there's a dead person in the same oil, in the same canopy, same tent, same house, whoever's in that area transmits acquires tumah. How do we know that that would apply to a reed mat too? Now, the reason for that is because the halachas of mess, that it transmits tumah, are learned by the incident of Midian, which was when the Jews went and got the utensils from the Midianites after the war that they won against them. So it says there in the Pasuk, now that they took all the spoils of war, it says, V'chol beged, v'chol kli'or, begoyim, etc. Now all the garments and all the leather things that you have to go ahead and make sure that you're metahar them, because they were tummy from the Midianim. Now, there it talks about that it could have the tumas mess. Now, there it only mentions a beged, or, would mean a garment, or something leather. But a mappets, a reed mat, is neither a garment or a leather item. Neither is it included in the wooden utensils mentioned over there. So that's the question of the Braisa. How do you know that it acquires tumas mess, even if it's in the same oil? It's not included in all the other items mentioned over there that could acquire tumas mess. So it says the Braisa b'dinu. It's a Kal V'chomer. What's a Kal V'chomer? Uma pachin kitanim. If regarding small earthenware jugs, Shetahayrim Bezav, where in all the halachas of Tumazav, the small earthenware jugs cannot acquire Tumazav. Now, the reason for that is because an earthenware vessel only contracts Tumah from its airspace. Now, since the opening of a small earthenware jug is very narrow. So a Zav can't even stick his small finger. He can't even stick his finger in over there. So it can't contract Tumah that way. Moreover, that it cannot contract Tumah through what's known as Medras, which is when a Zav sits on something, because small earthenware vessels are not fit. They would break, not fit for sitting on. Moreover, there's another Tumah known as Tumah Hesed. When a Zav pushes something, causing it to move, it will also not contract it through Tumah Hesed. And the reason being is because the Torah, when it mentions the Tumah Hesed by a Kli Cheres, by earthenware vessel contracting from a Zav, it uses in the terminology of Magav, touching. Because the Pasuk in Vayikra Tzav says, V'chli Cheres, and regarding an earthenware vessel, Asher Yigibay HaZav, which a Zav will touch, which actually it's from that Pasuk that we learn out that a Zav transmits Tumah through Hesed, through pushing something. So why did you use the word of touching? To tell you that whatever is not fit to contract Tumah through touching, which in this case it's not, as we said, because if a Zav touches an earthenware vessel, it does not make a tummy on the outside, it's only from the inside, and an earthenware jug that's small, is opening is too tiny to be able to get his finger inside to transmit it through touching on the inside. So therefore, it does not contract Tumah through Hesed either. So therefore, it's impossible for small earthenware jugs to become tummy from a Zav. And yet, mitame b'meis, but still, a small earthenware jug will contract tumah if it's in the oil of a mess, as the pasuk says, v'chol kli pesuach. It says any vessel that has an opening, any opening, will contract the tumah from a mess in the same oil. Now, what type of utensil will only contract tumah through its opening, as it says over the v'chol kli pesuach? It must be referring to a kli cheres, or earthenware jug, because other kalim are tumah even on, from the outside. Now, it says over there in the Pasuk, Tamehu, that it's going to become Tameh. In other words, even if it's a very narrow opening, still, it's under the same oil. You don't have to get inside of it. It's in the same oil. The mess is not going in the jug. It's only that what's in that same oil and has an opening. So you see that this Pachi Gitana, which are Tahar by Zav, are Tameh b'meis, so Mapet Shemetameh b'Zav. So regarding the reed mat, which contracts Tameh from a Zav, because a mat is fit to lay on, and that's the halacha of Tumas Mishkav and Ma'ishav, which the Pasuk says, HaMishkav HaShiyishkav, the mat, the bed that a Zav lays on, transmits Tumas Ziva, so in the Din Shitamba B'mes, isn't a Kavul Chaymer, the Mapitz, which is more stringent than the Pachim Gitanim regarding Zav, where Pachim Gitanim are not Mitame from Zav, are Mitamba B'mes, so Mapitz, a reed mat, which is Mitame from a Zav, as when the Zav lays on it, it's a Kavul Chaymer that's going to become Tame when it's in the oil mess. That's where the Brisa learns out the halacha of mapetz b'mes. Now, says the Gemara, b'kemaisi la. Now, what you see from the Brisa is that it's learning out that a mapetz, a reed mat, will become tamei, bein l'tumaserv, whether for that evening, meaning when it contracts a tumah of something that is for one day, and bein l'tumashiva, and it's going to become tamei even for 7 days, meaning, which was what the Kavachem was teaching us, which was for a mess, which is Tumas oil contracts, conveys Tumah for an item up to 7 days, like any kale that's in a kli, any vessel that's in the oil mess. That's what seemingly learned from the Kavachem. On that, the question is, but vamai, but why? Eima han the Kavachem alu Tumas erev. You should say that the Kavachem should only teach you that the mat, when it's in the oil mess, could only become tame up until the evening. Why? Because Vahani Dayot Lafuki Tumah Shiva, because Dayot should limit it, meaning up until we had the Kavachem, we wouldn't have known anything of a Mapetz becoming Tumah in the Oil HaMess, because it doesn't mention the Pasuk. The Kavachem is teaching us that a Mapetz does become Tumah in the Oil HaMess. But why is it saying that it's like a regular becoming Tumah in the Oil HaMess, which would mean like a regular Kli, which is Tumah for 7 days? It should limit it and exclude it from 7 days and say it's only Tumah for that up until that evening. Why? Because where do you learn that? The stringency of which is exactly like the case of Reb Tarfon in the Mishnah, that the Mapetz b'mes is more stringent than regarding the halacha of Pachim Kitanim by mes, is because you find the stringency by regarding the halachas of Zav. That by Zav, it's more stringent than Pachim Kitanim, because Pachim doesn't have a Tumah of Zav, whereas by Mapetz, it has a Tumah of Zav. But what are you learning from Zav? But by Azav, the Tumah of Mishkav is only for the Tumas Erev. It's only up until the evening. It's not for 7 days. So if you're learning out through that medium, that you should limit it up until Tumas Erev. So seemingly you have a Tana that's learning a Kavachimer and not saying Daya, even if it wouldn't refute the Kavachimer. Because the Kavachimer would tell me at least Tumas Erev. So why are you taking it all the way to Tumas Shiva? Obviously they don't know the Daya at all. So Amalei, so Ravina responded to Rav Acha Medifti. Says Kvar Rama Nehalei Rav Nechumi Bar Zachari Labaya. This question was already posed by Nechumi Bar Zachari Tabaya. Vamalei Abaya, and Abaya explained to him that it's not a difficulty because actually Tana, this Tana of this Braisa that was learning out the source of Mapetz Bemes, that a reed mat could become tummy from a mess, is actually Bimapetz Besheretz Maisila. Actually learns it out from, not as we had assumed, from Pachim Gitanim. We actually learned it out from the halacha of a reed mat which contracts tumma from a sheretz. And it's actually learned out from a gzeres shava, as the Gemara later on is going to bring it, from Beged Ur, where it says over here, and Beged Ur that it says over there. But it's not like we had assumed up until now that it was being learned out from a kavachemer from Zav, because actually if it was learned out from kavachemer from Zav, you're right. Then Daya would have limited it to the Erev and not to Meshiva. Now, but rather v'hachikama. This is what the Braisa was saying. The Braisa was actually two stages that it was talking about. Although it said, Mapetz Memes Minayin, when it then gave the answer from Pachim Gitanim, that wasn't teaching us Mapetz Bemes. Mapetz Bemes is going to be stage two. It first went to explain stage one. And it was saying, Mapetz Besheretz Minayin. First of all, forget about Mapetz Bemes, the Braisa says. Let's first figure out, how do you know that a reed mat contracts tuma from a sheretz? It's regards to that question that Vidinu, it says a kavachimer. If regarding the small earthenware jugs, which are tahor bezav, as we mentioned before, yet tamein besheretz, yet they contract tumah from a sheretz. Now the reason being is because a sheretz could transmit tumah even if it's the size of a lentil, which that's something that's very small. That could fit into a small opening of a small earthenware jug. So a sheretz could get in, and it could contract tumah on the inside. So mapet shetami bezav. So regarding a reed mat, which, as we said before, of course it could contract tumah from a zav because it's meant to lay on it, and that's tumah's mishka b'maishav. Ein adin sheyitami b'sheretz. Isn't it a kavuchaymer that a reed mat will become tummy from a sheretz? That's what the Bryce was referring to. It's talking about stage one, and that's where that leads us to the second phase of the halacha that the Bryce started with, which is ela mapet b'meis minayin. But now, how do we know that a reed mat could contract tumah even regarding mess? That's the next phase of the halacha. Nema beged va'ar b'sheretz. It says the words regarding the halacha of tumah regarding a sheretz. It says that it's metama a garment or something leather. Now v'nema beged va'ar b'mess. It also says regards halacha of contracting tumah from a dead person. Also that it's regarding a garment and leather. So we have the same words that tells us gzeres shava, which tells us ma beged va'ar ha'ame b'sheretz. Just like when it says beged and ar b'sheretz. Mapetz tamei boy, we know that the halacha of sheretz applies not just to beged and ur, it also applies to a reed mat. And how do we know that? That was why we introduced the first halacha, which we thought originally that was the source for mapetz bemes. No, it's actually teaching you the source for mapetz besheretz, which that's learned out from a kavachim from Pachin Gitanim. And the reason why we needed to say that first was because to teach us this gzeir shava. Now that we know the mapetz, it becomes tamei by sheretz from that kavachimer. Now the Gzeres Shava teaches us Av Beged Va'er Ha'ambe B'mes Mapetz Tamei Be'i. So also when it says the words Beged Va'er by Mes, it also will include the Halacha being Metamei a Mapetz. So that again is what the Bryce is talking about, and therefore has nothing to do with the question that we had asked. Oh, seemingly you have a Tana that tells you a Kavachemer and doesn't say Dai even if it's not going to be Mapetz for the Kavachemer. He said no, that's not where he was learning a Mapetz B'mes. It was from Pachin Gitanim. There were two phases to that Limud. It was learning out Sheretz from Pachin Gitanim. That there is a valid Kavachemer, whereas Mapetz Memes is learned out actually by Gzeres Shava from the Halacha of Mapetz by Sheretz. Now the Gemara points out that the way you're interpreting the Braisa now, you have to say Mufna. You have to say that the term Beged Va'er, which is the component of the Gzeres Shava, must be superfluous. Why? Di'ilay Mufna iklimifrach, because if the words are not superfluous, which thus gives us reason to say that we should say this Gzeres Shava under all circumstances, because if not, why did the Torah say extra words? It must be that that's the component over here, and that the words are extra. Why? Because if it's not extra, you could ask and say, wait a second, this is not a clean-cut Gzeres Shava, because Ma'la Sheretz, how could you learn that Mapetz of Mess from Sheretz? By sheretz, maybe it has the stringency of kaveng tumah to a reed mat. Shekim etame bekadosh, it has certain stringencies over mass. For example, that by a sheretz, it transmits tumah even if it's just the size of a lentil. Tame b'mass, who would say that the halacha of mappets of transmitting tumah to reed mat would apply even to oila mass? Sheim etame bekadosh ele b'kizayis, where it needs a larger measurement by mass, it cannot transmit tumah just the size of a lentil. It has to be the size of an olive, and therefore maybe you wouldn't have tumas mappets by mess. So the Gemara says, La'ai afnuyim mufna, you're right. We definitely have to say that the terms of beged va'ar are superfluous, and therefore we're going to say the gzer shava, even though there would seemingly be a percha on it, because the Torah explicitly told you to make the gzer shava by saying extra words. If it's not extra words, then we only say it if there's no percha, but we have a percha, it's not a clean-cut gzer shava. So the Gemara explains that, yeah, the words are extra, because mechti, let's see. Sheretz iskish l'shich v'zera. The halacha of tumah by sheretz are compared to halachas of tumah by shich v'zera, by semen. Because like the pasuk says in Meyikra, it says, oy ish asher teitzei b'gaimer, or a man that will emit from him shich v'zera. V'samachle, and the next pasuk says, oy ish asher yiga b'chol sheretz, or any person that's going to touch a sheretz. So we see that there's a hekish, there's a comparison between sheretz and shich v'zera. Now, which tells us that the halachas that apply by shich v'zera apply to the halach of sheretz. Now, ksivbi b'shech v'zera, now it says in a different pasuk earlier in Sefer Vayikra, by shech v'zera it says, v'chol beged v'chol oir, regarding any garment or any leather, asher yil of shech v'zera that will have semen on it will become tamei. So we already know that regarding the halachas of sheretz, that applies to beged and oir, because we learn out the halachas of sheretz from the pasuk before it, which talks about shech v'zera. So beged va'ar d'chas rachman b'sheretz slamali. Then why does the Torah have to say again beged va'ar by sheretz if I already know it from the hekesh from shech v'zera, which another pasuk tells us that shech v'zera applies to beged and ar? Shema mena lafnoi. So the Gemara says obviously that the terminology beged va'ar to tell you that sheretz applies to tumah on a garment or leather is superfluous. I already know it from shech v'zera. Why is it extra to tell you that, to learn the gzeir shava from sheretz to mess to tell you that just like that by sheretz there's halacha of mappets becoming tamei, a reed mat, so too by mess. Now the Gemara asked, however, makati mufne mitzad echad hu. All you explained to us so far was that one of the two terms of beged va'ar, that specifically by sheretz, is superfluous. But so far it sounds like, but by the halachas of mess, it has to say that how it transmits tumah by saying it in the parsha, beged va'ar. Now says the Gemara, that's still difficult. Hanich leman da'ama mufne mitzad echad. Now, that's a good according to the opinion that says that if, let's say, a gzeir shava always says, well, you're learning out one from the other, where it says the term in this parasha, it says the term in that parasha, now we compare the two. So, if you say, like the one who says that if one of the two terminologies by either one of those two parashas are superfluous, that lemeidin ve'im meshivin, that you could learn the gzeir shava and you don't refute the gzeir shava, even though there would seemingly be a flaw in the gzeir shava, a pircha. So, shapa, according to that opinion, it works out well. Even though there's a pircha, because maybe mappets will only be by sheretz because it has the stringency of the measurement, which is smaller than mess. We say, okay, even though it has the pircha, but we'll learn it and we won't be meshim because one of the two terms, that of by sheretz, is superfluous. But elman the amal made in the meshivin, according to the opinion that says that, yes, if one of the two terms are mufna, like we're saying, as we just described it till now, we will learn the gzeir shava, but we will be meshiv, we will respond and refute the kal v'chomer, refute the gzeir shava if there's a flaw. So ma'ik l'meima, so what are you going to say according to that opinion? We just said that there is a flaw. There is something to ask on the gzeir shava. Maybe you can't learn out mappets of mess from mappets of sheretz, because sheretz has a chomer, and therefore maybe he has it by mappets, unlike by mess. So the Gemara answers, the mess name afnu yimufnu. No, actually, not only is the terminology by sheretz superfluous, it's superfluous also by mess, by saying beged v'ar, as the Gemara explains. Mechdi, let's see. Mes iskesh l'shech v'zera. Not only, as we said before, that sheretz is compared to shech v'zera, mes, the halacha of a dead person transmitting tumah, is also compared to the tumah of shech v'zera. Because the chsiv, it says in that pasuk we mentioned before, it says, v'hanagia b'chol t'mei nefesh. It says that anybody that touches someone that is tummy from a dead person, oy ish asher teitzei mimenu v'gaimu, or a person that will come out from him, shech v'zera. So you see, the Torah is comparing in the same pasuk the halachas of tumah mes and shech v'zera. Now, as we said before, uksiv be shech v'zera, it says in a different pasuk regarding semen, v'chol beged v'chol or ashe yulav shech v'zera, that the halachas of tumas of shech v'zera applies to a garment and to leather. So then the question is, I already know now from the hekish of mes to shech v'zera that the tumma of mess applies to beged var, because we already have a different pasuk about shechva zera, which we're comparing to mess, that tells you applies with beged and ar. So beged var the kaz rachman the mess lamali. Then why does the Torah say extra words seemingly of saying that halach of tumas mess applies to garment and leather by mess if I already know it from the hekesh by shechva zera? Says the Gemara, Shema Menor Lafnui, obviously, it's coming to tell you that they're superfluous, Vavamufn Mishneit Staden. And therefore, it's extra on both sides. And there, everyone agrees that Lameidim Emeshivin. If both words are superfluous, the Torah is telling you directly to tell you, I want you to compare these two areas, because why are the words here? They don't belong here. They don't need to be here. So the Torah is telling you, even if there would be a percha, you learn the Gezer Shava, and that's how you ultimately know Mapetz B'mes, again, not from Pachim Ketanim, which the Gemara thought to prove that that would be a Kavochemer, that you don't say Dayo, even if it wouldn't refute the Kavochemer. So no, we're learning out Mapetz B'mes, as we just said, from Gezer Shava, of by Sheretz, by Mapetz. Now it's Sheretz of Mapetz that we know that becomes Tameh, that's from a Kavochemer of Pachim Ketanim. Now the Gemara, however, was one more question regarding this discussion. Hanicha, this that we just described, and the Gemara's question that was going on, it's actually a discussion in the Mefarshim, specifically in Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara, that, but the basic question, if it's going on the Gzer Shava of Mes and Sheretz, or it's actually going on the Hekesh of Meis and Shechva Zera. But either way, it's the same idea, which is, the Gemara's question is, Hanicha leman da'ama don mi na v'uki ba'astra. Everything we set up until now works according to the one that says that when you learn the Gzera Shava, you learn, Don Mina means you learn from there. Like let's say here you're learning out either a mess from what the Hekesh is, which Marshal learns is going on both, Marshal holds only on the Gzera Shava, which if you're learning out from the Halacha, from the Parsha by Sheretz, let's say the Gzera Shava regarding Mapetz. So you Don Mina, you learn from it, V'ugi Ba'astra. But then you place it back to the context of what you're learning it to, which would mean to say that although you're learning out Mesa and Sheretz have different halachas of tumah. Sheretz is until the evening, Mesa is for 7 days. So, but if you say that you could transpose what you're learning from there and Gzeir Shabbat, putting it back here, so you could say that you didn't really need to say Beged and Ur by Mace. Rather, it's superfluous. Why? Because you could learn it out. And again, this is where the different Gersoyas come in Rashi. If it's going on the Gzera Shava or it's going on the Hekesh, you would either know it from Shechva Zera, because that's the Hekesh that we said, or you would actually know it from Sheretz, which we said that's Gzera Shava, which would tell you whatever it is that you would know it from, but you would know that it's Mekabel Tumas Mes, either again the Beged and the Ur, they were talking about the Mapetz, again, depending if you're learning it regarding the Hekesh or the Gzeir Shav, but either way, whatever it is that you're learning, that you're saying, why do you have to say the words Beged and Ur? You could learn it from the other source. Yeah, because you would be learning it out for the context of the halachas of Tumas Mes to tell you, just like whenever the halacha is by Mes, that it transmits Tumah to the Kalim for 7 days. Also regarding, again, either the Mapetz from the Gzeir Shav or Beged Va'ar that you know from Shech Bezara, you would know that it's going to be Tumah for 7 days. But there's a big fundamental machlokes regarding what happens when you learn Gzera Shav from the other place. Do you transpose the whole entire context of that halacha? Meaning to say, when you're learning from a different halacha, yes, you're going to have that same halacha that it says over there, let's say regarding the halachas of Tumas Mapetz, which we're saying we're learning from Gzera Shav from Sheretz. Yes, but that means to say that you have to have the entire halacha that you have by Mapetz, by Sheretz. That would be difficult, Ma'ik Lameima. Now, what are you going to say? How do you know, as the Brisa was saying, which we explained up until this point, that Mapetz by Mes is going to be Tumah for 7 days, like every halacha is by a Kli that becomes Tumah in the Oyla Mes? How do you know that? Again, the Gisoris and Rashi will be depending on how you learn up what Rashi is coming to say. Either that, so what do you need Beged and Ur? How can you say that Beged and Ur, what do you need it for? You definitely do need it for. Because if you learn it out from, again, either Shechva Zera or you learn it from Sheretz, either way, it would be limited to the halacha of that tumah, of either Shechva Zera or of Sheretz, which is only up until the evening. So how are you saying that we know that Mapetz B'mes is going to be tumah 7 days, again, either from this Hekesh for Beged, from that already you know Beged and Ur from Shechva Zera, or you know Sheretz, which tells you the halacha of Mapetz by Mes, but that's limited only for the evening. So how are you telling me that the halacha of a reed mat will become tummy for 7 days by mess if what you're learning it from, you are limited to the context that it says over there, which is for the evening? So how can you tell me it's going to be for all 7 days? Only the one who says that you bring it back. Yes, Mappets is there, Mappets applies here. Now we qualified based on the context over here. But there's an opinion that says you only don mine mina. You only take it how it says over there and you bring it over here with those same halachas. How can you learn it for 7 days then? That Amar Rav, he says, Amar Kra. The Pasuk says in Midbar, V'chibastim b'gdeichem b'yem eshvi. You shall wash your garments on the seventh day. What that teaches us is, that Pasuk is talking about by the lachas of Tumas Mes, which means to say that any Tumas that you have because of a dead person, should not be less than 7 days. In other words, it's Exeris HaKasev, that yes, although there is that opinion, and that opinion would say, that usually we say from Exeris HaKasev, Dun Mina Umina, that we're going to be limited to how we're learning from that context, let's say the Gzeres Shava of Mappets by Mess. How do you know when there's a dead person, there's a corpse in an oil, that the reed mat, which it doesn't say in the Psukim over there, is going to become Tameh? You know from Gzeres Shava because it says the same words, Beged and Ur, by Sheretz. Well, a Sheretz, when it transmits to a Mappets, is only going to be Tameh for the evening. So how do we know that it, by Mess, that it's going to be for 7 days, which that's what the Bryce is saying? And if you learn Dun Mina Mina, and that Rava says, that's Exeris HaKasev. The Torah tells you that whenever you have something that's Tameh, which we know it's becoming Tameh from the Exeris Shava, now though generally it should be only to the evening, but the Pasuk is explicitly coming to tell you that by Tumas Mes it's always going to be for 7 days. And again, that's the conclusion of this part of the Gemara, which was an extension of the Gemara had thought that it's a question on the presumption we had opening up the daf, that everyone holds up Dai because of biblical halacha, and even Reb Tarfon, it's only when he doesn't say Dai because he's going to be mafrach the Kal V'chaimer. Yet seemingly we had a Braisa here that was learning Mappets B'mes from Parchei Ketanim, which would have been, according to the Havmin of the Gemara, a Kal V'chaimer not saying Dai, even though saying Dai would not have refuted the whole entire thing. That the Gemara said, no, there's actually two phases in the Braisa. It's Sheretz that has Mappets from Parchei Ketanim, which that's a valid Kal V'chaimer, and that there is no Dai over there. And then there is the halach of Mappets B'mes, which that we know from that we know by Sheretz, by Mappets, which that is Gzeres Shavah, as we said, of Beged V'ar and Beged V'ar.